Hello, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Make It Sound Fiction, episode one. My name is Nico.
My name is Tyler.
And we're here because we really love media and all of its forms, and I think that's kind of what our podcast is going to be about. And
a love of fiction.
A love of fiction. Well, I do like some nonfiction, but predominantly we're two people who just really love stories in whatever form they take. And, you know, whether that be like video games or films or books or television shows. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about for however, you know, many episodes this podcast goes. So we thought it would probably be a good idea to introduce ourselves because maybe not everybody listening to this very new podcast has ever heard of us before, which would be shocking, but you know, just in case.
Just in case, yeah.
So Tyler, my wonderful co-host, why don't you tell everybody who you are and a little bit about what you do?
Well, I already said my name is Tyler, and I like writing. I write a lot, and I also make videos, which mostly about Overwatch, because we both play Overwatch together a lot, and I tend to make like kind of informational videos on YouTube. We've also been streaming. We've been streaming LA Noire, which I'm sure we'll talk about, which is an interesting video game. But yeah, I mean, most of my stuff is just writing about media and talking about it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Nico, as I said before, and I'm predominantly a freelance games critic, I guess, a journalist critic, but I also really love writing about TV and film.
And talking about it.
And talking about it, yes, definitely. with kind of like a feminist lens. I've also been streaming with Tyler as well. Perhaps you have read a lot of my Overwatch writing, because I have done quite a fair amount of that. I've written a two-part series so far about the state of Mercy as a support character in Overwatch. And those are just sort of things that both of us are kind of known around the internet as doing, and we decided, well, let's add podcasts to that, too.
Yeah.
As if we didn't have enough things to do already. But we decided that, you know, we just have interesting conversations about the sort of stuff that we play and the stuff that we watch every single day, and I do mean literally every single day.
Yep.
So we both thought, why don't we turn this into a podcast?
Yep, it's just we're gonna be both mad about Mercy in Overwatch for 45 minutes every week.
Oh gosh, that would just
we could do that though.
We could that I don't think it would bore everyone to tears, but I think you it might get a little tiring after a while, since we talk about that a lot. But we both are people who love to really pull apart and think about the media we consume. And that's kind of where we got the name of the show from, which is Make It Sound Fiction, because it's, well, number one, Tyler probably should take the credit on this one.
You're the one that came up. You're the one that found it.
Yeah, but you're the one that got me into the band.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. It's a Dance Gavin Dance lyric.
Yeah.
I already forgot what song. Oh, it's...
It's from... It's
crap.
Is it
Son of Robot?
No, it's not Son of Robot. It's
Midnight Crusade.
Midnight Crusade. Yeah, it's Midnight
Which
Crusade,
which is like the first single off of the latest album.
Yeah,
yeah.
Artificial Selection, and we really thought it kind of played around with the stuff that we were interested about doing on several levels, because it's a kind of a multi-layered pun, sort of like, you know, make it sound fiction, like make it good fiction, or make it sound fictional, or make it sound fiction, like a mm-hmm. podcast.
Yep.
See, it's a pun.
Many levels to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
It was a really good. It was a good lyric, but it was a better. It was even better podcast name.
Basically, and that's yeah. Like it's funny because podcasting is just sort of sometimes you struggle with them, and then that one we just kind of
that
tossed.
One worked really well. Yeah.
Yeah, that one came out of the
like
ether basically and was like.
Yeah.
We need to have this one. We need to have this as our name, so. That's how we got that one. But we felt that we should probably just jump into the conversations that we've been having for the last week. And we're this, you know, like, this isn't just going to be an introductory podcast episode. We're actually going to talk about stuff that we've been kind of musing about for the last week. So, Tyler, what have we been kind of grousing about for the last couple of days?
Let me get out my list. Well, I mean, it's mostly been just E3. I mean, it's hard to not talk about E3 because it's a whole week of new games and lots of guns and, I don't know, announcements and stuff. And I know that we've had a lot to talk about with, because we watched all the press conferences by the different companies. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of games, like, both exciting and sort of, like, dull, and we had our issues, I think, with all... There was just a lot of games that were really violent, which is not surprising for E3, but, like, especially at this point, in, like, this in 2018, mm-hmm. There was a lot of games that just did, like, were trying to be, like... I don't even know. I guess they weren't even trying to be political. It's the whole issue with games, specifically, is, like, they're not... They say they're not political, but they totally are, and there's just tons of violence and, like, weird takes on, like, weird, I don't know, I guess, like, current issues that aren't really takes. I don't know, it's, like, they're just bad. I'm just imagining, like, The Division 2, which is a game I didn't even think would exist, but it does, and it's, uh-huh. Like, what is it? What was, like, the pitch? It was, like, is it post-apocalyptic? I don't know. It's essentially, like, after, like, a Black Friday, like, breakout of some virus, right?
Yeah, because that's what the Division 1 was
that
about.
That was the Division 1, which has, it's an interesting setup because, like, you know, like, super, like, Black Friday is, like, you know, super commercial day, and, like, mm-hmm. That's interesting. But I think the sequel is, like, Washington, D.C.?
Yes, instead of New York City, basically.
Right, yeah. And it's, like, yeah, it's, like, the same game. It's, like, I don't know, a hyperviolent shooter / MMO thing.
But they fixed all the things that were wrong in the first
one. Yeah, there's a lot of improvements over the first one, yeah. Well,
I don't understand, because I don't know what was wrong with the first one.
Yeah, I don't know what was wrong with the first one either. It was just, I feel like The Division 2 was a good example, at least, of, like, mm-hmm. a game that, wasn't there interviews after that, like, came out after, of, like, a game that basically, like, is very much touching on, like, stuff that is relevant now in terms of, like, these, like, obviously, like, Washington, D.C. and stuff, but also, like, having nothing to say about it. Like, it just is, like, here's Washington, D.C. as a setting, but this is, like, all the stuff you can do, like, as a game. Like, it doesn't care about the context of it, of, like, any of it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, I feel like that, not only The Division 2, but there was just, like, a lot of games, like, even, like, the Call of Duty and Battlefield games, like, which, I mean, usual for them, but just have no care for what they're even trying to do in terms of, like, I don't know, like just how much violence they have and, like, what that means now. They just assume there's something about those games that just assumes, like, well, you're going to accept this just because it's a sequel to the last one that you played or whatever. Like, they sell it as a sequel and not as anything, like, not as, like, any type of message or point, like, they have a point, I
yeah.
guess.
That was, and that's kind of what was the overall tone of this year, which is funny because I think both of us have watched the last couple of years of E3 trailers and, like, presentations and stuff like that. And there's always been the sort of, like, problematic elements that kind of float to the top, like, oh, there's a lack of women. Oh, there's a lack of people of color. Oh, this company has issues with their, you know, their staff and stuff like that. This year really felt like so many of those things were being ignored in both the games and the presentations in terms of, like, overall, like you said, a lack of context. Yeah. Watching The Division 2 trailer and gameplay demo.
Oh, yeah, I forgot there was two things.
Yeah, there was two things. And it turned my stomach more so than any other year because we are in this political climate with this administration that's extremely gun focused, and we've had so many violent deaths, we've had so many school shootings, and then on top of that, it just felt like, so on top of the fact that it takes place in DC, but then on top of that, it just feels like, yeah, this year more so than any other year, I felt like more particularly affected by the violence I was seeing and how so many game developers we're just like, oh, what's the core loop? This is what the game is about. This is what people are interested in playing. And the, like, bloodthirsty cheering for all of it. And like you said, how it's so decontextualized from, like, what violence means and what it has an impact about. And I made a tweet that kind of, like, I think summarized a lot of my feelings in kind of, like, a really, kind of maybe a sort of glib sort of way. Yeah, I'm proud of it, but it was very glib. But kind of, like, saying, oh, do you see that mountain? Do you want to go visit that mountain? Well, you can't because you have 20,000 people to kill. But that's, and like, I felt like that was my takeaway from E3. Yeah.
Because there was just, like, what was the Division had, like, it was like an airplane or something. What was, like, one of the settings or, like, the gameplay demo? It was like an airport, like, whatever you call it, the mat thing, like, where the, like, airplanes are, right? Wasn't it?
The tarmac. Yeah, it was tarmac, on the tarmac. Yeah, the gameplay demo was on the tarmac.
Right,
yeah.
And it's, like, this, it was this, like, interesting, like, kind of, like, I don't know, like, a level or area that, like a place you could, like, a location, I guess. But, like, it's just got, like, chest-high walls and places to take cover and, you know, like, and they're really showing off, like, some grenade thing and, like, how, like, I don't know, you know, like, the fake chatter between the teammates as they're shooting up, like, the AI enemies. And it's, like, that happened in a lot of places because there was also, what is it, Battlefield and Call of Duty also have, like, or even, like, Anthem from, like, the new, like,
yes,
Destiny-ish game.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, this weird, like, it's, like, this kind of, like, beautiful, like, fantasy kind of looking environments, but then it's just, like, you're killing 100 enemies. And I know that's, like, a thing that all games have done for a while and stuff. It's not really new to have, like, cool environments where you just shoot, but I mean, that was a big thing with, like, Bioshock Infinite. Like, the beginning of that game was, like, really interesting, but you just sort of end up shooting anyway. It feels like now, like you're saying, is, like, this is the worst time to be showing that kind of thing. Like, I'm surprised. I guess maybe it's, like, I'm surprised that nobody was questioning it at all this year. Like, you think that maybe something would have changed, especially all that's happened. But none of the games really had any, like, I don't know, like, any mind to what was even, like, where they're coming out at and stuff like that. So it just felt especially weird this year compared to other years, which is weird because I've always heard people complain about, like, the violence at E3, but it just felt like it was, like, this was, like, where it should have stopped, and it just didn't, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah.
It's mostly, for me, it's sad because it feels like such a neglect of the artistic process, because every single trailer always had these, like, very misleading entrances into what is considered the, like, loop of the story or the loop of the action, where, like, beautiful scenic vista, beautiful buildings, beautiful reflections, beautiful light, beautiful people, like, so much work has gone into the hair and the textures and the falling leaves and the buildings and glass and rain and weather effects and children and just so much time and so much care and so much energy and so much person power has been dropped into what is a vertical, you know, like, or a vertical slice of the gameplay or the environment detail, and it's just background. Just a background.
It's
to
always
what
like
is
an introduction to big open world thing or new world, this year's world
where you shoot a lot of people or you kill a lot of people.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, like, I think people might assume that we're, like, only complaining about maybe shooters, but I mean, this happened even with, like, the new From Software game and, like, the Sekiro and also, what is it, Ghost of Tsushima. Like, those games have, like, really pretty places, like, this, like, huge landscape, but then you're just fighting, like, as a ninja, like, other people. I don't know, like, it's still violent. It's still, like, it's still just an action game in a really cool place. Yeah, not that that's the whole game. You know, obviously, maybe there is more to that. We've only seen a small, like, slice, like you said, but that's what we got to see at E3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that.
The Fallout 5 game was Fallout 76. Not Fallout 5.
Fallout 5, people get mad at you.
Yeah, I'm confusing it with the other 5 game, the Battlefield 5.
Oh, right.
My bad. It's not Fallout V. It's Fallout 76. you know, that the whole Bethesda presentation, you know, kind of culminated with Fallout 76, as has been kind of like teased for a couple of weeks, is like, I looked at the beautiful like recreation of West Virginia, which admittedly is a place that you do not get to see in video games. The East Coast and the Appalachian region is 100% not a region that gets portrayed in video games.
This is why you kind of liked the like Chateau Guillard map, right?
Yeah, in Overwatch. Yeah. Was that like places that remind me of the East Coast outside of New York City. So when I talk about East Coast, I'm talking rural. I'm not talking New York City. I'm not talking Boston, because I know that Fallout 4 took place in Boston. So it was really interesting that Fallout is kind of continuing that trend of like, let's kind of focus on the East Coast and let's do West Virginia, which is interesting because that is a rural, economically depressed part of our country and has sort of been kind of a hotbed for a lot of like talks about like, you know, the rural poor, and that area has suffered so much in terms of like, you know, lack of funding for education and environmental guidelines with, you know, mining and clean water. And it's so fascinating to me that that would be a great place to have a game like Fallout. And then you just find out that it's just going to be basically Fallout the MMO with like people nuking each other. So they're taking what is kind of the existing sort of morals of the Fallout franchise in this impossibly beautiful post-apocalyptic, or, you know, like post-first, you know, first vault opening West Virginia, and you're just going to make it drift even farther away from kind of the original intentions of the series. That was mind-blowing to me. That was mind-blowing
to
me.
The big key thing about Fallout 76, if you haven't heard, is that, like, it is all the things about Fallout that made it like not just like an action game are gone in Fallout 76, because there's like no NPCs, and there's like, I mean, I guess there's probably quests maybe, but it sounds like they're all going to be sort of from like the game, like this, like it's going to be very like not through like dialogue and stuff. It's all just like fighting other people or teaming up with them, building bases. Like, it's all very mechanical focused, and there's not very much like narrative there really, it sounds like. Yeah. So like, and also, like, the VAT system, I assume, is not there, which is, like, the game's, like, combat system, which, like, slows down time, and you can, like, pick different, like, body parts to shoot or whatever. Like, the any type of, like, the game being strategic or not just, like, shooting each other is just gone in that game, which is really sad, because I think that's what you're saying, right? Is, like, you saw that initial trailer of Virginia, and it's, like, or West Virginia, and it's, like, you know, all that stuff that you would be wanting to do in a Fallout game is not there. Because it's a multiplayer game.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting because I've never played a Fallout game. I've watched a lot of people play through them. I've watched a lot of playthroughs of Fallout. And one of the whole, like, draws of the Fallout sort of game is you can be as inventive with the combat as you want, especially with mods. And, you know, I know people do passive
playthroughs. Or not even
playthroughs.
Do it if you talk your way out of it. Kind of thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. You can talk your way out of it. And so I always felt that that was really kind of interesting. And now it's sort of just taking this beautiful world, this beautiful rural environment, and just making it about, like making it very close to a survival MMO, basically. Sort of very similar to, like, Rust or Ark.
It's, like,
and
less
like
MMO and more Rust and more, like, kind of battle royale in the sense that, like, everyone's in this big open world
and they're against it. They can kill each other. And
they can. Yeah.
That was kind of with on top of that, with every company basically coming out with a battle royale this year, I just felt that we were getting so many trailers that were basically like, this is beautiful. And then you get to kill people. And it was just like, and not just like kill NPCs, but also games where the competitive PvP multiplayer aspect came into it as well. So that just heaped a whole other level of like distaste for me, is because, yeah, this also is the year that like everybody wants to have a battle royale game. Everybody wants to remove the function of story and complications to the sort of violence and first-person shooter and first-person action sort of sequences, and just remove what could make that interesting, like story, you know, like narrative and character interaction, and
something
just
to
made it
what you're doing. Yeah.
Propel the, you know, like make the violence make sense, make the violence meaningful, and just get rid of all of it.
Yeah, because like I think the one of the, I mean, I'm not gonna like directly quote the Fallout guy. What, I forgot his name.
Todd Howard.
Todd Howard. I'm saying Tom Howard.
Tom Howard.
Tom Howard's his brother, but Todd Howard said something like, "We always know, or we know that people love like having like interesting characters as their allies in our games, and so what's better than just making that another player?" And it's like, that nope, that's not Todd, like that's not necessarily what people want. People don't just want, like, I mean, yes, like having my friends in Fallout sounds cool, but that's not a replacement for like something you wrote. Like that there's value to narratives and having characters in a game, because people aren't characters. Like that's not how that works. People aren't characters. They're not they're not better, they're different.
They're different. And
selling it as better is like a complete misunderstanding of anything.
Crafted experiences, directed experiences are uniquely a function of fictional worlds. It's it is creating a situation and a place and a time and an interaction and walking someone through an artistic experience on some level. Which is why people get lost in books, why people get lost in film. You're sitting there and experiencing that story. And games have always talked about the sort of inventiveness of that immersion and that interaction, that interactivity, as being where games really excel. And seeing so many games this year focus on stripping away that interactivity to how many people you can kill for resources or fight it's, against.
It's a weird, like, because I feel like it wasn't very long ago before, like, the big thing was, like, oh, look at this, Tomb Raider is rebooted, and now it's got, like, a story, and she's, like, she doesn't want to, like, kill people, and that's a really big event when she does or whatever, and, like, here's Bioshock Infinite, and, like, this has got, like, a big story, and it's, like, an interesting place or whatever. But then now it's just, like, Not that either of those games are really good. I'm just saying that's like the pitch for the big games. And now it seems like the pitch is like, don't worry about the story. Like, what if your friends were here too? And like, you know, you saw Fortnite. That's really popular. So what if you just got to do that in Call of Duty or whatever? Not that we even saw that at E3, but you know, they definitely announced that there's going to be a Battle Royale for both Battlefield and Call of Duty. But it's one of those things where it's like, are we just, like, giving up on having, like, any type of narrative thing? Like, is it like, oh, Fortnite's big? We don't have to do the whole writing thing now. Let's just go. Like, it's almost like some of these bigger developers have, like, I don't know, taken like, stuff like Fortnite and other multiplayer games, like even Destiny, like, as an excuse to just be like, well, if we just put multiplayer and give them a bunch of loot and, like, have, like, RPG systems so they can level up and stuff, then we don't have to worry about too much of the story stuff. Because they don't, that's not what they want. But
It's like, but it's interesting because I think a lot of the audience doesn't want that, which is
but I think monetarily, maybe it doesn't really show. Like, they look at, like, you know, Fortnite, obviously it's free to play, but, like, you know, I'm sure there's people spending lots of money in that, and that's super popular, and so, like, why not just do the thing that will make you the money? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's,
which,
like,
is
cynical in a way, but
it's completely on the nose, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's good to be cynical towards the game industry because they are profit-driven. And I think a lot of us forget that the AAA space, which is predominantly what dominated the E3 stage and has every year, is they're in the business of high reward, low risk. It's the same thing as how movies are made and TV shows. They want to create something that appeals to the most amount of people and yields the best return on their investment.
Right. And there wasn't a lot of big games that felt like they were unique in a way that wasn't that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that kind of brings us to, I think, which is kind of maybe kind of a locus where a lot of these issues come together, is like, how did we feel about Last of Us 2?
Yeah, because Last of Us 2 was an interesting game because there's, I don't know, there's something weird about The Last of Us because it's like, it's a hyper violent game because it's like post apocalyptic and like everyone, you know, that world is like always very like violent and there's like zombies essentially in it. And when they show that, like, it's such a, something about, I don't know, I don't really understand, like, some people seem to give, like, Naughty Dog a pass a little bit because of, like, mm-hmm. oh, their games are very story heavy, and, like, I don't know, so, like, and they always make their violence grounded in a way, like, in the trailer when, like, Ellie is, like, killing people, she gets, like, hit, and, like, it looks like it hurts, like, there's definitely a lot of, like, animations and sound work paid to just making it look like she is really feeling like the, you know, like the effects of actually like fighting and stuff like that, which is something that the other games haven't super done. I mean, and like, I'm trying to think of even The Division, when people were getting shot, like they didn't even like move, right? It's typical video game, like get shot, a bunch of your health goes down, you wait for it to regenerate. And so like The Last of Us has a lot more like kind of impactful feeling violence, so it makes it feel, I think you even tweeted, right? Like, it feels more grounded compared to a lot of other stuff, so it looks a little bit more interesting because it's not just, like, person with a gun running through an environment mm-hmm. and getting shot at and having fun with it. But then, obviously, that trailer also does another thing that makes it feel really strange.
Yeah. Which is the kiss between Ellie and the girl.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
But I don't know her name. It's, yeah. It's
her name important. Is said before that. She has a name. I just don't remember.
Yeah, I just don't remember what it was. That was weird to me because it also felt hyper violent because it was not against zombies. It was against other people.
Yeah, I guess I should have said that. No zombies.
Yeah. And last year we also saw a preview of Last of Us 2 that had nothing to do with Ellie. You know, she came in at the end as sort of like the big reveal, like, oh my god, Ellie's gonna be in this game, yeah. You know, like,
she's older, yeah.
Yeah, but the whole, like, gameplay cutscene that they showed last year at E3 was a woman having her arms broken with a hammer and people being hung, like, strung up on trees.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people forgot about that.
I think they did, yeah.
And that tempered my ability to like look at the violence from this year and say, oh, well, you know, I guess it's part of the game because it really feels like they're going to take this whole scarce resources, people fighting each other. What's the aftermath of the zombie apocalypse in this world? And it's going to be humans turning on each other. And that's the story, but it's going to be real dark.
Right. Which they did in the first one, but I remember, did you see the trailer for the first one, the like gameplay trailer that was the equivalent of this one? Okay, because it was basically just the guy
Joel,
I almost called him Joel, like running around, and like I think like it ends with him like shooting a guy with a shotgun like in the face, and that's how it ends, and like cuts to the like Last of Us title screen. And like, yeah. I remember people complaining about that, like, or like criticizing it because it was really violent. But we didn't know anything about the game at the moment or at that point. So other than like, oh, apparently it's just a third person shooter too. So it was funny to me that they decided to do that with the new trailer again, because that's essentially what they just did again, except for they had like the kiss, obviously, the like cut before it. But that was like especially weird to have the violence like shoved in between like a moment that was very nonviolent and very like
touching
and like rare for E3 at all, so or games
or rare or ra- or game, because it was like just two women kissing. Yeah. We should note that it was the kiss that won E3. and it felt really weird to me because as somebody who would really love to see queer woman representation in video games, it felt like the penance for enjoying that kiss was to have it basically bookend or, you know, like intercut with Ellie being really violent and killing other people and her getting hurt and you know, kind of hearing reports from people who were packed in like sardines at the presentation that Naughty Dog did for, you know, or Sony rather, did for that. Bloodthirstily cheering for it, like the violence.
Because in a way, that's the thing, is like that gameplay demo, just the name of it, gameplay demo, like it's showing off how you play the game. It's not necessarily like a narrative thing, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like it's really definitely showing that, like, oh, like, I mean, there's the one moment where she like picks up a bottle and then throws it. And like that is a mechanic from the first game. So that part right there was clearly like, hey, remember the bottles you can pick up and like distract people or hit them with? You can do it in this game. And like in a way that's like gross and weird, especially with the way they opened it.
Yeah.
With the kiss. Because like it's still a demo to show like the thing we just talked about earlier of like, here's the improvements, or like, here's what you can do again. And like, here's new animations and stuff. I mean, it... Again, it still felt more grounded than other stuff, but it still had the issue of like, yeah, but our game, like, here's all the cool like stuff you can kill in our game, because that's what it is. It's not just a story between two women or something, you know? Like, it's definitely. I mean, not that anybody expected that, but it's just one of those things where it's like, we still have to show all this because it's E3, and that's, you don't have to.
It's weird because I don't necessarily have a problem with a story having violence in it.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a lot of games. And I think that one of the reasons that Last of Us gets a big pass is that story. It does balance it out. It does ground the violence somewhat. But when everything gets shown as marketing materials is that violence. And it's, like you said, it's decontextualized. We're going back to this thing again and again. It's decontextualized. The kiss feels cheap.
Yeah.
It feels like they spent so much time and so much money and so much effort on that animation to make that kiss look human and real and believable.
It did. It really did.
It did. It did. And it was great. And then it was intercut with like the most beautiful, realistic violence you have ever seen, you know, and it was just like,
yeah,
it felt like it just it
felt like here's a step forward, but we're still back here. Like
we're still invested in the violence.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, and it sucks because I mean, it sucks on so many levels too, because then there's also the whole, well, I don't think I ever want to buy a game from Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
Because of the, you know, the sexual harassment allegations which this year.
Basically didn't respond to, really.
Which they basically didn't respond to. And then on top of that, just like, okay, so this is how we're getting the representation this year. This is what's happening. This is how it's going to happen at E3. Like, yeah, women can be gay and kill people. Yeah. You know,
like, and I think we were talking about this before. It was like, it's not the trope where like they die or something after they kiss, but it's still intercut with incredible violence. Like
it is.
Yeah.
It is. And that doesn't feel great to me. Like I'm not even gonna angle for like, oh, it doesn't feel progressive, which, because I progressiveness is in this sort of way is so kind of flat and cardboard. It just doesn't even feel good to me. It just doesn't even feel good, you know, to see a kiss like that and then have it. And I get it, they were trying to be super clever. They were trying to make a point that Ellie is this awkward, shy girl who's then also incredibly violent and capable of incredible violence. And I bet somebody on their marketing team looked at that trailer and thought, man, we fucking nailed it this year. We fucking nailed it.
Yeah, because they even put them in that, like, ballroom kind of thing, right? Like, they put
with,
them
like,
in that,
the lights and the ambiance.
So I feel like
and
part of that was, like, look at this contrast. Like, look, it's a nice time that you see the kiss and everything. But, like, remember, this is The Last of Us, and it's a savage world. And it's like, okay. Like, that's...
Yeah. And it just... It just sucks. There were so many things about this year that were just so disappointing and so miserable that were sold to us as being entertainment. And it doesn't... All it does is just remind me that our world is horrible and there are horrible things happening every day. So it was, like, really funny to me that they would spend all this money on these games with all of this violence in it, and then everybody was, like... People that I knew, my circle of people, my critic friends, my timeline on Twitter, were all cheering for the games where, you know, you play a cute little fox, or you, you know, have ooblets, or you're a cute little, like, fluffy animal thing that's skipping through a fucking forest that isn't...
Or whatever is going on in the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer.
Look, that is violence of a different kind. I'm not going to stand for
it. You're killing the darkness, okay? So,
But I think it does. I think the popularity of Kingdom Hearts this year also kind of made a point of like, man, sometimes people want to watch or play video games that don't remind them of how horrible the shit is right now.
Yeah. Especially since they're all, I don't know, a lot of the games with guns are just a lot of the same thing. They're all sequels, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know.
They're all sequels, you know?
And that's the other thing, too, I think that we should mention is, like, even if they aren't sequels, like, I still think of things like, I guess, like, I could, when we said that, I remembered the game from Bethesda. What is it called? Oh, Rage 2. Like, it has a number, but, like, yeah, like, the first, it's very different from the first Rage, but it's still one of those things where it's like, oh, this is just another one of those shooters where it's, like, it's more wacky in terms of tone, but that doesn't mm-hmm. make it better kind of thing. Like, even though I guess I'm saying is like some of the games seem to try to like switch up the tone or something. Compared to like The Last of Us, which is very much like more of the same thing, but that doesn't change anything. Like you're still doing the same stuff. It just might be a little bit more like, I don't know, tongue in cheek or something. Like it doesn't help it compared to something like you said. What is the game with the I forgot the name of the game with the like Zelda like fox game, but like
that is Sable.
Yeah, Sable. So it's like games like that, or even the game, I forgot the name of the game with Yarny.
Unraveled 2.
Unraveled 2 came out. Like that was just announced and then released.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean like a lot of the big developers had a lot of like really cool like indie showings. Like, I mean, I'm super hyped for a lot of the indie titles like from Double Fine, you know, publishing, like Ooblets and Unraveled 2, Neo Cab. What's the one about the hell you get your
after party
party and hell after party, yeah. Like, and these are all things that have,
but those just, were also at like PC Gamer show for some of those.
Yeah.
Not all.
Yeah.
Of them,
like,
yeah.
Not all of them, but like, I mean, I consider PC bigger... gamers, I consider that like part of the presentation.
Yeah. But,
yeah,
it's, but
not,
it's not, Sony,
not a big, it's not a big developer. It's not a big developer. Yeah. It's everything for PC. Those are the things that I was stoked about. Like, those are the things that I was interested in, and all of those seem to have a little bit more emphasis on, like, meaning and story and character and what can we do with dialogue and what can we do with that. And so it was just, like, those are the things that I wish got more of a, more promotion at E3 versus kind of what we saw this year in particular.
Yeah.
It felt very samey, like
it felt more samey than ever before too.
Yes. Yeah. Which is weird because technology always makes leaps and bounds, hardware always gets better, but this year in particular it just felt like, I don't know, how many times did we see a beautiful scene and then we heard a piano note?
Yeah, and then it like fades to black and then comes back up, swells back up, and then there's like a gun or something, or like something,
or dead people,
or, yeah,
or blood, or slow motion dead people, yeah, or dying people. Yeah, you hear the piano note in the intro and you know bad shit's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So to kind of cap off our E3 discussion, because we're also kind of getting close to the end of the show, there was a tweet, and we'll link it somewhere. There's a Danny O'Dwyer tweet. If you don't know who Danny O'Dwyer is, he is he's a former games journalist and now current games documentarian.
I think he did a piece on Fallout 76, I think.
Yes, he did a piece on Fallout 76. Yeah, with his like NoClip Studios. Yeah. And they have a Patreon and everything. He made a tweet that said, for those confused as to why the CD Projekt Red would make a Cyberpunk 2077 first person, it probably has something to do with the fact that it's a game where you fire guns inside of buildings and not a game where you swing a sword in fields, and it's kind of a whole like thread. And I feel like that tweet kind of like plays a little bit into what we were talking about, yeah, with regards to how games are sort of are constructed mechanically and visually in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and also just like the way they're made, or the way people have expectations about what a game should be, if it
or
is
look like.
Yeah, look like, yeah, because like that was kind of a thing, is like Cyberpunk is a game by CD Projekt Red, who made like The Witcher, which is a third person like action game, like fantasy, not guns or anything. And so, and like Cyberpunk obviously is like futuristic and has guns and stuff, and people were, I think, a little bit like disappointed that it was first person, it sounds like. At least it's partly for mostly first person. And so, and I think Danny was just trying to like, he was trying to make a point that like it, there's some stuff that's just impossible in third person that you can do in like first person. And I think that that like, that's like a, we were talking like, it's like a fundamental misunderstanding of like what you could do in a game. Like, you could have a first person game that has like either cutscenes or like you can play around with the camera in a first person game or in a third person game, sorry, that could do is like could do things that you would have done in just a first person game. Like, it basically just limits this under, it's like a limited understanding of what you could do with a third person game because of what other games have done. Like, it basically says like there's nothing new that a developer could do with third person, so that's why they went first person. But that's not true. You can do whatever you want in the game for the most part.
Yeah, it also feels a little bit sort of like, I don't know if he intended this, but it also sounds a little bit like a little bit aggressive towards swinging your sword in a field versus like shooting people with a gun in a building. Number one, I also feel bad that we're reducing a game like that has cyberpunk elements to like shooting people in a building.
Yeah,
because
all the
guns.
Reports of like the stuff they showed was, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just shooting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It wasn't just shooting. And I would hope that a CD Projekt Red like cyberpunk game really digs into kind of the narrative elements and tonal elements and world building elements that a cyberpunk world offers you as a developer, else that is a huge misstep. But also, one of my big points about that is it's really weird to me that a person who spends his day thinking about the way that a camera works and a way that a camera shoots things doesn't have a dramatic impact on your message and your vision, but that those things are malleable.
Yeah, especially in a game.
Especially in a game.
You don't have actual mechanical moving things in a game, really.
You don't. Yeah. You don't. I mean, like, the space is virtual.
Yeah.
And in the real world, your camera is always limited by money and your director of photography, your rigging, your space, your, you know, actors, or in the case of a documentary, just people. You know, things in a documentary, of all things, you have so little control. Because you're just trying to tell the real story. But in a game, the actors are fictional, the camera is fictional, or not fictional, but it's digital. It's in a fictional space, it's in a created space, it's in a space that is 100%
completely regardless of like anybody controlling it, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a controlled environment 100%, and it's a creative decision to not include a third person camera view, to only include first person. And it's like the word of God is going to be what it is, but we can't say, well, this is why it is the way it is, and it could never be any other way. No, that was a choice. That was
a
choice to do
that.
It's always
a choice with games. Yeah.
It's not like it's a foregone conclusion. It's a choice. And I know we were talking about like the example that Danny gave, which is like, for instance, at one point the protagonist had a meeting in the back of a car. It's impossible to do that in third person. And I'm like,
that's
wrong.
It's really not. We are playing a game right now on Twitch, like together, that has third person conversations in the, well, it's not in the back of a car, but it's in a car.
Yeah. And they made a decision to do that.
Yeah.
And they made it part of the gameplay. Because in L.A. Noir, you are in a car, you get in a car, and it zooms out to the third person, like third person, and it falls way back.
Yeah.
The camera falls way, way back outside of the car. And the gameplay is that either the game has an NPC drive the car to a location with like a short, you know, conversation that tells you dialogue that gives exposition about the case that you're on or a case that you've just solved, and automatically takes you to the location, or you can drive around manually and have a conversation with your partner.
Yeah. And it just goes while you're driving to the next location thing. Like, and that's third person. And also, like, even if you didn't, even if they couldn't do that, like, there's also just cutscenes. Like, you could just have a cutscene of a conversation in the back of a car. And I know that, like, I think the reason why maybe, like, Danny or just a lot of other, like, people who play games, like, I know there's a lot of people saying, like, oh, like, cutting to cutscenes is, like, lame. Like, it's bad. Like, you don't want to have, like, a game that, like, removes you from the game itself kind of thing, which is a lot of, like, you know, a lot of games are doing that now where it's, like, not doing cutscenes. But, like, why not? Like, if that's part of your story, what's wrong with a cutscene if you're just, like, the mechanics of how you're telling a story shouldn't matter if the story's compelling enough to me? Right? Like, if you can just do a cutscene and there would be no issue as long as you were just following along and it was compelling enough to care about whatever the conversation was, for example. So you can do anything in a third-person game. You can do whatever you want. You could go first-person for that one scene. You could do so many... Yeah. There's so many things you could do, especially with, like you said, with the camera. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, the idea that, like... That's just... I guess it's just basically what we're saying is, like, it's essentially just a bad argument to say, like, a game has to be a certain way, so stop complaining, because that's not true. It's always a choice.
It is a choice, and his last tweet in the thread is, I do wish gamers would stop pretending that they know more than groups of hundreds of developers. And that's fair, because I know that I'm not a game developer, I'm a game critic.
Yeah,
a lot of
talented people work in games, skilled people.
Yeah, a lot of talented people, it's scale, it's resources, and I understand that. But it's a choice.
Yeah,
they made a choice.
You can still criticize it.
You can still say... You can't just, you can't at the same time argue for, it's impossible to do against, well, this is what these developers did with their creative passion. You can't have it both ways. It's either a choice that these creative developers made due to either resources or, you know, aesthetics or what that, you know, whatever that the reason behind that choice is. And, well, this is just how it has to be. It's impossible. When it's clearly not impossible. Yeah. It's a choice that those developers made.
Yeah.
And I think that does tie into kind of our larger point to kind of like wrap this up is like every year we kind of have these experiences with seeing these games, and it's all of these choices by developers or by publishers or by these large companies. And the messages that they're sending and the choices that they do make say so much about those values and say so much about those games and say so much about so many things, and it kind of just makes you wonder what the fuck that they're thinking.
Yeah. And a lot of them adhere to this idea of, like, it almost feels like this line of thinking is sometimes, like, inherent in the design of, like, well, it has to be first person because it's impossible to do in third person, so here's your first person shooter or whatever. Or, like, it has to be a shooter because that's what people want to play and we can't do anything else in this, so let's just do that. Like, there's a lot of those, like, assumptions and stuff that I think kind of drive what games are. Like, I mean, even think about the Last of Us thing we were just talking about. Like, that trailer, essentially, somebody who made that trailer said, like, well, we can have this, like you know, intimate moment between these two women, but it has to be a trailer where we show off what, like, the gameplay is like, right? So we have to show that. Even if it's just a trailer. It's not even the game. So it's like...
Yeah.
That kind of thinking is, like, what kind of keeps games the way they are sometimes, and it's another sad thing.
It's depressing. Yeah. Because the median and the sort of lowest common denominator seems to fall into a lot of these sort of trends and historical sort of historical rules that then become, like, set in stone that just kind of leave a lot of people wanting for the medium, basically.
Especially when there are games that totally don't, adhere to that at all. And just
exactly.
Exactly.
And... Yeah,
because it exists beside these big games that don't. It's like, especially, like, you just see the contrast, and it's like, like, you could totally do, like, Ooblets or even, like, I mean, I know Animal Crossing didn't get announced, but, you know, an Animal Crossing game has, like, no violence in it, and and people totally want that. Stardew Valley is super popular, and it's a game with no violence in it.
Mm-hmm. So with, you know, you hit slimes with a sword, but, you know, it's a little bit less it's a little bit less violent than hyper realistic throat slitting and arrow wounds in Last of Us 2. So this has been the first episode of Make It Sound Fiction, and I hope everybody had, like, a really good time listening to it. And So we will probably be putting this up somewhere that we will tell you all where it is on social media, so you can follow us there. And we're also, we'll, once we get an episode going, we'll also be putting it on iTunes. So when we get it on iTunes, you know, rating the show and writing a review, super important when it gets to that point. So if you like what we do, you can also let us know on social media. So Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm at Tyler Culp on Twitter, which is Tyler Culp. Yeah, that's probably the best place to talk to me.
Also, what's your Twitch?
Oh, my Twitch. My Twitch is Otter Pop, with so it's Otter X Pop. And I'm trying to think if there's anywhere else that people should. I mean, that's it. That's the two places. Oh, my YouTube. Okay. I guess my YouTube is YouTube. It's the URL is weird. It's like youtube.com/c/TylerCulp, the same as my Twitter name. So that's how you can find me there.
And I am Nico, aka Apple Cider Witch, which is my Twitter and also my Twitch, and that's where you can find me.
Yeah, it's easy for
and
you.
Links, links to all my stuff there. And so we will see everybody next time.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.